Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek, back on the ball from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 10th, 2011, episode 137, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, Horse World.
Do you know what today is?
No, what?
Yeah!
What day is it? Tell me!
It's Tuesday!
I can't believe it! I just don't believe it!
Feels like Tuesday. Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
Beautiful day, yeah, yeah. Beautiful day. And beautiful day, yeah, yeah. Beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day, people. It's a beautiful day everywhere. I don't care if it's raining, sleeting, snowing. I don't care if it's sunny and perfect. It is a beautiful day, and I'm going to tell you why, because in 2 hours and 59 minutes, let's see, 3 hours and 29 minutes, my airplane takes off to the remote exotic island of Kauai, Hawaii, where I will then spend the next 5 days nursing the wounds of my fall of my horse yesterday. I am checked out. I am in airplane mode. I'm on vacation. I'm looking around my house right now going, okay, what do I need to get ready? What do I need to do? Really, I should just focus on the show. It's going to be difficult, but I will do my best, Glenn.
Yeah, and it's just checking the weather. You're going to be 79 to 81 degrees the entire time you're there.
Yeah, it's kind of like that all the time there.
Yeah.
Little shower in the afternoon.
I was just going to say, it was a daily chance of showers. That's pretty much
absolutely.
It. So you're going to which island? You're going to Kauai?
We are going to Kauai, yeah, Kauai.
And that's one of the smaller ones, isn't it?
It is. You can pretty much drive anywhere on the island in a day, make a day trip out of going anywhere on the island. It's known for its exotic hiking trails and its sheer cliff walls on one side. The rainiest spot in the world is on Kauai. There's amazing beaches. The north side of the shore of the island gets a lot of rain, and the south side of the island gets sun and beautiful weather all the time. So it would be tough to be a weather guy because you just go, well, 5 miles north, it's going to rain. 2 miles east, it's going to snow or sleet or whatever. You know, south, it's really sunny and gorgeous. Now west, you got a lot of wind, whatever. I don't know. I don't care. I'll find out for you.
And are you going to be able to do anything but lie on the beach successfully with all of your injuries?
Well, you know, we had planned the first 3 days to be our adventure days, you know, where we take the rental car and go out and hike and bike and do everything exciting. And the last two were supposed to be relaxing days. And if I could flip-flop them, I would. But I don't think we can change the hotel reservations. So I will be Advil-ing it up and doing the best that I can to put a brave face on and go out there. But so far, day number two after the fall, everything hurts. I feel like I got hit by a truck.
Well, you know, and how about your neck? Because you said your neck hurt yesterday. And I know you probably got a little bit of whiplash when you hit the ground.
Yeah, I don't think it's called whiplash when you get slammed on the ground at about 40 miles an hour.
Sure, we'll call it whiplash.
No, my joints and my neck are fine. It's just the muscles. So it'll all heal. I'm incredibly lucky. I do have some amazingly awesome bruising. So people are going to think when I'm in my bikini on the beach that I have been beaten by my husband. I'm going to play it up. He hits me. He hits me. See what he did? I need another drink.
Well, you know, after the first day when the sunburn hits, you won't see the bruising at all. You'll just be bright red.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. Oh, I've got sunscreen. I'm milking these bruises as long as I can, I'm telling you. It'll be awesome. I can't wait.
Well, it sounds like fun. Now you have the entire listening community of the Horse Radio Network jealous and mad at you because you're going and we're not. So just thought I'd bring that
up. Sorry. You know, it's been a rough month. I was working at Rolex, you know, just so, you know, working as hard as I can to keep up at Rolex and traveling around all the different horse farms and visiting with all the riders. It was tough, Glenn. It was really tough. So now I really need a vacation. Oh, whatever. I'm so lucky. My
yeah,
month
you're
has
pretty
been
lucky.
Awesome.
And it's your anniversary, so it's important and fun, too. So.
Yes.
1 year anniversary. Geez, that seems like so long ago, Jennifer. Speaking of Jennifer, let's find out what's coming up on today's show, and then we can chat some more.
On today's show, we are all heading across the pond. Hope you guys knew about that. Well, Jamie's already packed. First up, we have an insider's look at the Royal Muse from David Saunders, who is the former head coachman to the Duke of Edinburgh. And translated for non-royal watchers, first up, the head honcho of the Queen of England's husband's stables. There we go. And in the interest of fuel savings, we'll just stay on the far side of the pond and have a nice visit from Katie Gilmore from the Horse and Country TV. I'm sure she's going to have some really cool headlines for us. So stay tuned for the fun and hijinks.
And actually, Jennifer has the first Daily Winnie today.
Big thank you for all of the many, 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 many Facebook fans and friends on my Facebook page personally as well as on Horses of the Morning for all the happy birthdays and pleasantries and presents. It was wonderful.
Actually,
isn't it awesome? I love having birthdays on Facebook because people that you have no idea who they are because they're Facebook friends of yours and they're from your third grade Mrs. Rogers class. And you haven't seen them since third grade, but they wish you happy birthday. So I love waking up and having your birthday on Facebook because you log into Facebook and everybody from the entire history of your life has written, happy birthday! It's so fun. I love it.
And Jennifer, she got a, our friend Darcy got her a brand new leather halter for Beaker with his little name plate on it. He hasn't had one of his. Yeah, he had 20-year-old hand-me-down halters, so he finally looks spiffy again.
Oh, that's a
very
great
proud.
Gift.
Very
yes.
proud.
Yes, and what did your husband do for you, Jennifer?
He got me surprise carrots gift. I got myself a new pair of carrots riding breeches. I'm going with the traditional knee patch this time because I already have the boot cut and love, 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 love them. But unfortunately, fox hunting, you're not allowed to wear your boot cuts. You have to wear the regular kind. So I just sent my order in this morning for my microcord knee patch carrots.
And what else?
Well,
did
we
you
already
get?
Know you got the carrots. I mean, we already know about that. Yeah. What else?
Oh well, I also got a polo lesson. Woohoo! I'm gonna wear my
polo.
Yeah, polo, as in you know, mallet, ball. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's the coolest thing. Oh, my gosh. You got to go take a polo lesson, or you're going to. That is the
I have to call and set up a time. Yep. And I did it once before and enjoyed it immensely. It was very fun.
It was dangerous for the horses and everybody around.
Yeah,
but
I felt like I was going to slide off the whole time because the saddles are like a cross between a fence rail and a piece of well-waxed cardboard. there's nothing to hold on to. Nothing.
Oh. Well, does this mean that, first of all, you mentioned fox hunting. Does this mean you're going to start fox hunting Beaker?
Well, that's the end goal. We're seriously taking on the idea of cruising around in the backfield a little bit next year. I sent an email off to my contact at the fox hunt to find out the inside story, the scoop, and where one finds their fixture card. And we are taking more time to trot and canter so that we're both a little bit less pudgy and more fit.
Good.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm excited for you. I can't wait. It's once you fox hunt one time, it's addicting. I loved it, even though I was in the back.
It either scares you straight and you never do it again, going, that's really stupid, or you're addicted. One of the two.
You either like being out there with the drunken fox hunting riders or you don't.
Yeah.
It's just one or the other.
Yeah.
She did it so many years when she was up at Myopia for 2 years, fox hunting 3 times a week. So Jennifer's always liked fox hunting. And there's what's really cool, Jamie, is here in Lexington, there's a couple of hunts, but the one that she's looking at going on actually hunts down at Shaker Village, down in that area. How beautiful would that be?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it'd be gorgeous. You're going to have so much fun. I'm excited for you. Get that pony fit.
Yep.
Get him cantering and trotting up some hills. Get yourself running up some hills. Stop eating 2 donuts for breakfast every morning, and you guys will be ready in a month.
See, fox hunting is the perfect getaway because it combines the thrills of cross country and eventing without all those picky rules.
Oh my gosh! Whatever. Fox hunting has amazing amount of rules. I was informed, like, when I fox hunted because I was a guest, there's certain place I could ride. I couldn't go up in the front. They have a lot of rules over there, but you're just used to them, just like we are with the eventing rules. So it's just kind of what you've been used to, you know.
The most important rule that fox hunting does not have is that fall off and you're done rule. It doesn't have that one.
No, you can get back on.
You
matter of fact, you're encouraged
on.
To take a drink and get back on, both.
That's true. That is true. It is way fun. That's exciting that you guys are going to do that.
And, you know, I knew she would love the polo lesson because she had tried it before. And so her and Darcy, I bought one for each of them. So they're going to go together and take their polo lesson. Although Darcy's klutzier than Jennifer. So I can't imagine how that's going to be.
That's awesome.
Come down, you know, they're going
to
kill each other.
Darcy's going to be afraid to hit the ball.
Yes.
Well, you know, I tried to take a polo lesson once. It kind of goes along with doing my every horse sport around. But the guy that was going to teach me was like 112 years old. And the first lesson, we don't even get around the horse. We had to study the history of polo and the chuckers and all that stuff. And I was like, too much work. I just want to get on and hit a ball. That's all I really want to do. So, he was going to give me a history of polo, and I kind of lost interest after that. So maybe, hopefully, you won't have to do that. You just get to get on and hit a ball.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the first time we did it. The person who set this all up for us knew that if we had to learn all the details, we would never come back. So the first lesson consisted of throwing the tack on the old professor polo ponies and say, go out there and gallop around and get them warmed up. That was our first lesson. It was cool.
That sounds just like my cutting horse lesson. Hey, go rope them around.
Yeah, it was like your cutting horse lesson.
Yeah, go.
Throw them in.
Go cut a buffalo.
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't even know what I do. You don't even know if I can ride. Don't lope them around. All right.
They'll figure it out quick enough.
That's awesome. Yeah, you're going to fox hunt again. You're going to have a polo lesson. Very, very cool. I don't see Beaker as a fantastic polo pony, so hopefully you won't love the sport too much because it's going to be very expensive for you, Glenn, if she does. She needs 12 ponies.
Yeah, I told them both that. I said, you both aren't allowed to love this sport because not only do you need one pony, you need 6. And we're not doing that.
Yeah.
So. And then you need a bigger trailer and everything that goes along with having 6 horses you have to transport to the match. So, no. But you have a Winnie too, don't you?
I do. Well, you know, misery loves company. And when you have a fall off of a horse, it just makes you feel better to know that other people have been in your situation. When I fell off my horse on the cross-country school on Sunday off of Jet, I felt better when my instructor was like, oh, no, I get jumped off. You know, it happens. It happened to me last time we were here. And it started to make me feel better knowing that other people come off when you're riding cross country. And it was just embarrassing to me. Well, I'd like to send my daily Winnie to Brenda Corey Dunn and Karen Heiser for both commiserating with me. And I want to do this on Facebook. I forgot to mention this, Glenn. Let's post on Facebook, when was the last time you fell off your horse? I want to get a general consensus, because it had been, I was trying to remember, it had been about 5 or 6 years since the last time I fell off. And, you know, granted I was due, overdue, but I want to find out, like, how often people fall off. When was the last time you fell off? Post it on Facebook. But Brenda said she had her first fall in 28 years a week ago. And she said, Jamie, mind you, I was just on the flat. How embarrassing. Karen Heiser one-upped her by going, hey, I fell off a horse just standing there. So I do appreciate you ladies jumping in and trying to make me feel better about the fact that, yes, you fell off, and, yeah, I wasn't even jumping cross-country. But I do appreciate it, and I want to find out what everybody else has. So thank you very much. That's my daily Winnie, and I can't wait to hear these stories. I can't wait. I'm going to go to Facebook right now.
I was thinking about it, and I have a bunch of invalid co-hosts right now. Helena fell off there, what, a week or two ago, and really hurt her knee. She's in a brace. She can't ride for a long time, and she's going to be in this brace for 6 weeks, screwed up her knee really bad, and here you are falling off, and I guess the worst part of it's your neck and your butt. So, you know, but at least you don't have a brace on your butt. That'd be bad to fly in the airplane with.
That would be uncomfortable. No, I just have muscle pain, really. I'm pretty lucky. My elbow is this scratched up bloody thing, so that's a little bit like hamburger, but I'll be okay. I'm going to be okay. Poor Helena is in for a long road, I believe, so bless her little heart. I hate it for her, but I just need some company.
Okay. Hey, I wanted to remind everybody, we haven't done this lately, that you can find all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at the Hallway Feeds iPhone app. If you have an iPhone, just look up Hallway Feeds, and it's a really cool iPhone app. It actually is a news aggregator application, so it has different categories for whatever kind of horse news you're interested in. It even has polo, I'm sure. So you can, it's all different kinds of news, whether you're into hunter jumpers or dressage or trail ride or whatever. And you can go see the headlines for all the different news, all the news that's going on that day. Plus, they carry our shows. The top little button there is Horse Radio, and you can listen to our show streaming right on your iPhone through the Hallway Feeds iPhone app. So just you can find that in your app store. And you wanted to talk a little bit.
How did I not know about that? That's awesome.
Well, that's why I thought we better mention it, because we don't mention it enough. So I just would mention it. It's a really neat application, actually. They were the first ones in the horse world to have an iPhone app. This actually was the first iPhone app in the horse world. It's free. Yep, it's free. No problem there.
I'm downloading it right now.
And you wanted to talk a little bit about how Sinead is doing.
Yes. Sinead Halpin, who came in third place in Rolex this past couple weeks ago, she is amazing. She is young. She is beautiful. She is so nice. She is so likable. I mean, would you guys agree that she came over to be on our show and on the Eventing show with a smile on her face? She was super excited. She's the one that brought me to tears like 3 times because she started crying on the shows because she was so excited. I mean, is she not one of the most likable people?
Well, yeah, she's a real sweetheart. And I've known her for a couple of years, and she's just that way all the time.
Oh, she's lovely. And Eventing Nation yesterday posted a poll that the United States Olympic Committee was doing an Athlete of the Month voting. And Sinead was – they're all women, and Sinead was tied at 31% with a softball player. Now, I'm sure that this is like a fast-pitch softball player, but I'm sorry, there's nobody tougher than a girl who goes out there and kicks around Rolex, okay? She was tied with a softball player. There was, like, a fencing person on there. There was every kind of random sport you could think of. And then the equestrian category, which was Sinead. And voting was ending last night, so Event and Nation said, hey, everybody, go on there and vote, and let's get her up above the softball players and the fencers and all that. Well, I went on there and voted a couple times. She won by a landslide because everybody that reads Eventing Nation and all of you people out there, it's awesome. It's a great, eventingnation.com is a great source for news. And everybody went on there and she kicked butt and she won the voting. She got all the way up to 50%. So it's hard to get eventers noticed by the United States Olympic Committee. So, good for Sinead, good for Eventing Nation for rallying behind her, and congrats, she won the whole thing.
Yeah, and the next to the closest was 25%, was that softball player. So, good job, Sinead. She's having a pretty good month, too. You talked about your month. She's having a pretty good month.
Yeah, she is having a great month. But, hey, guess what I did last night, Glenn? I had to have two glasses of wine to do it.
To go with your pain medication, that was good. There's a good combination.
I don't mix. I laid off the pain medication, went with the Advil and two glasses of wine theory that would work, but it didn't. I still overslept this morning, slept through my alarm. But I sat down last night with my sore butt, my sore elbow, my sore neck. Fortunately, my hand works because I filled out the entry forms and mailed them in to the Coconino Horse Trials. I am officially entered. My horse,
Yay!
Spider Jet, is his name, is now officially entered in the beginner novice division at Coconino. And I was like shaking when I signed it. You know, just signed the bottom of it. Like, are you sure you want to do this? No. I still had to sign it. And I sent it off with the check, and oh my gosh, I can't believe I've entered that horse in a competition in a couple of weeks. That's insane. I feel like I'm crazy.
Now, if you can stay healthy long enough to actually
get there. If he doesn't buck me off again or jump me off again. So,
normally we worry about the horse staying sound before the horse show. We have, in the case of the hosts of the Horse Radio Network, we have to worry about them staying sound before the horse show.
I'm with you, girl. I will do my best, but he's got to stay in some work, and so we're going to go, when I get back, we're going to go and have a dressage lesson, and my coach Barb is going to hop on him a little bit and kind of see what's going on, because the only thing he doesn't want to do in a dressage test is halt. Then you kind of have to halt. You have to stop at some point and salute the judge. So we don't have quite the halt yet, but otherwise, we're pretty good. We're going to figure it out. I feel like I'm cramming a lot of training in.
Okay, go to Facebook there, Jamie, and look at the responses that are starting so far to your request about when's the last time you fell off. That would be at our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, everybody. Just search for Horses in the Morning. Aubrey, who's an avid listener, posted, not only was mine spectacular, but there were pics. Here's what happens when the pony bounces down the two-stride stairs and you don't keep your shoulders back, and then click on the link to the pics. You can't even see poor Aubrey in the last picture. I think she's hanging on the other side of the horse.
Oh, my gosh. Aubrey, that's fantastic.
No, that's like your husband coming over and saying your fall was terrific. You can't say that, remember? You have to say,
this
is
awesome. Fantastic. That the horse is still jumping. You know, that's an event horse for you right there. That is an event horse. So we've got, those links are great. So we have, and to what happened at the end, the last picture.
I think Aubrey is hanging on the other side of the horse that we can't see.
Oh, my God, what a good pony. Aubrey, please call in and tell us about that. 347-637-3238. You have to call and tell me about that because I have to know what exactly happened. that's great. And then, Jen, I got to know, who's the person that fell off at a standstill and broke their wrist? Is that you?
No, it wasn't. I fell off and broke my wrist, but I wasn't standing still, thank goodness. Well, I can say this because my birthday was yesterday. My gift is in the mail. She has a whole year to forget about it, my mom.
soccer mom, yeah. Broke her wrist at a standstill, falling off about a 14-hand pony.
I browbeat her into going into a, what do they call it, a road hack class, which is a regular hunter flat class. But at the end of the class, everybody lines up like they always do, and then there are two jumps on a line, usually like a 4 or 5 stride line or something, and they're teeny-weeny, and you hop over them. And I browbeat her into going in the class. And this pony, the most awesome, wonderful pony in the world, but, boy, she taught you to ride. Her favorite thing to do is she didn't stop before the jump. She stopped after the jump. She would land, and she'd like either canter or trot 2 or 3 steps and then just stop dead. And that's what she did.
God.
The pony stopped dead.
Oh, my God.
Count 1, 2, and year, clonk.
No Christmas gift
have
for
Aubrey,
you this year, telling that story.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
Yeah,
you're grounded.
We do have Aubrey on the line here. Let's say hi to Aubrey and find out about that that fall where she doesn't, where she just seems to be glued to the horse. Can't quite tell. Hi, Aubrey.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
Oh, my gosh, Aubrey. That's awesome.
That one's pretty good, isn't it? I wish I had stuck it.
I said, tell us what
happened. I'm sorry, Jamie.
Tell us what happened.
It was supposed to be a two stride double of downstairs, and my horse thought that it was a bounce. So she leapt off of the first one and stopped at the second one and then leapt off of the second one, and I got, like, I almost stuck it. They're actually in order. So I was, like, on the side, and then I was suddenly back in the middle. And then she went down the other stair, and then I was on the other side. But I landed on my feet. But it was a pretty spectacular one.
That's incredible. So you're married. She stopped as you're hanging on her neck, and you couldn't pull a Karen O'Connor and wiggle back up in the tack. Is that correct?
Honestly, I'd already had it was one of those rides anyway, and it was, like, really cold, and I just didn't feel like it. I just kind of swung my leg off. I said, okay, I'm done. I'd already had a stop early on the course, and I was like, no, I'm finished. I don't feel like trying to tear myself up. You know, you end up pulling muscles and stuff, trying to pull yourself back up. So, but, yeah, it was, if I had managed to, like, because it was the funniest kind of line of reasoning that went through my head, because I went down and then was on the side, and then all of a sudden I'm back in the middle, and I'm going, how am I back in the middle of the horse again? And then we landed, and then I was on the other side. Like, wait, what's going on? So, it was interesting, but I did manage to land on my feet.
It's never good when you see, like, in that third picture, your leg, your lower leg up above the saddle. That's never a good idea. It's never going to end nicely. So I love this this photo set. Thank God the photographer kept taking pictures. That is just the coolest.
Yeah. I said if I'd actually like, stuck it, I'd have bought the series of them, because it would have been a really funny series of them.
Successful.
I just love
the
last picture where you can't even see you. You're just sort of attached to the other side of the horse. Oh, is that right?
Where she's standing. Is it the one where she's like kind of stopped at the bottom?
Yeah.
Because if it's that one, I think I'm standing next to her, because I'd come off by then and I was standing on the ground next to her. So she's looking at me like I'm a crazy person.
Hey,
I love your attitude going down the bank.
She's
the ears
a good girl.
Forward, jumping down. But Glenn, what were you going to say? You can tell me what.
I just wanted to tell you, we're running out of time here, but I just wanted to tell you that Aubrey's also joining us this week on the Stable Scoop Show, and I'm just not going to tell why. I'm just going to say that Aubrey did something that is pretty incredible and is going to be an inspiration to a lot of our listeners. So she's going to join us for this week's Stable Scoop episode with Lena and I, too.
Yay!
I hope I don't make too much of a fool of myself.
No, you're fine. It's just us. Well, thank you, Aubrey, for typing in and letting us know about that. We appreciate that. And, we appreciate you listening every day, too.
All righty. Well, thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Aubrey, you're the best, girl. Thank you. I feel better.
Well, you should feel better. Look at all the people posting. Here's another person we have to get on the show. Jen Gruber is going to need to call in sometime. Last time I fell off was during the tsunami in Thailand. Christmas present from hubby to an equestrian resort. Trail ride with about 10 riders. Horses were dancing and prancing, and then the horses in front of me started bucking and rearing. My horse had nowhere to go but down a hill, fell with me, and we rolled down into a holding pond. Helmet saved, didn't know the tsunami was going on west of us, but the horses knew. I live to say I was part of the tsunami. Now, that's something that we have to find out about. Oh, my God.
That's crazy. Who had stories like that? I mean, the rumbling, like the horses feel it through their feet, you know. Oh, my gosh, that's cool. That's awesome.
Our listeners do. That's pretty cool. All right, so we're going to take a break here for our commercial, and then we're going to come back. We're actually waiting for our first guest to try and get a hold of us. We hope this works out. From England. He's trying to contact us on Skype today, so we hope that we got the time and everything worked out for David Saunders, who happened to work for the husband of the Queen at Windsor Castle with all of the horses and carriages.
Well, just thanks so much to our sponsor, Pfizer Animal Health. So daily deworming makes a difference. You can see feed Pfizer Animal Health Strongest C or C2X to help your horse's coat shine. Strongest C2X is designed for daily administration to horses and foaled, killing parasites before they take your horse's good looks and good health. Learn more at PfizerAH.com. And if you're at a boarding facility, you should be on daily dewormer, Strongest C or C2X. Definitely recommended there. But thanks to Pfizer again for sponsoring our show. That's PfizerAH.com.
Hey, there's a movie. Remember we talked about the movie Buck? Remember we had Smokey Brannaman on with us, who is Buck Brannaman's brother. We had him on a while back, and they've done a movie about Buck, and we talked about it being at the Sundance Film Festival. Well, it's actually been going around to a number of film festivals now, and this movie has won awards at like every one of them. And it's about to be released in a limited release across the country. And on their website, if you just look up Buck the Movie, on their website, or Buck the Film, rather, I think it's buckthefilm.com, they have a list of all the cities it's coming to. And it looks like the closest place to us here in Lexington is Cincinnati, so we might have to run up there to see it. But they actually have an official trailer out now for Buck, and I have it here for everybody. So let's take a listen to Buck the film's trailer.
First time I saw it was amazing to me.
It just blew my mind.
I thought, what kind of voodoo stuff is this? He walks into a round pen and 5 minutes he's got a horse following him around like a dog.
Everything you do with a horse, it's a dance.
You always hear about breaking horses. There's a whole element of abuse, really.
And you don't realize how unjust it is until someone shows you a different path.
A lot of times, rather than helping people with horse problems, I'm helping horses with people problems.
In this particular discipline, you have to be a sensitive person.
There, she's trying to protect herself. There's a change.
That vulnerability is what makes you great.
That's why so many of the folks that are really good at this are, sometimes they're tortured souls.
My dad had a violent temper. He was a terrifying person. When something is scared for their life, I understand that. Nobody's here to hurt you.
When I met Buck, he's got a big hat on, his vest, and he looks like he's got a costume on. And then his humanity and a gentle spirit came off real quick.
It's a real trust thing between the two of you. A little bit like when you're dating. That last 2 minutes of the date can be a real deal breaker.
He was just a very ordinary boy. Didn't show signs of early genius.
Thanks, Mom.
You sound the same that every life must.
This horse tells me quite a bit about you.
As we sit alone, I know someday we must go.
Boy, do you feel like a fool and kind of like a failure.
It's all right.
Oh, I'm a lucky man to count on both hands the ones I love.
If you got a taste of what I'm talking about,
stay with me.
It'll make you better in areas that you didn't think related to horses.
Let's just breathe.
God had him in mind when he made a cowboy.
Well, that's the trailer for the movie Buck. And as I said, you can go, I think it's buckthefilm.com, and you can go there and find out when it's going to be opening in a city near you. It has a great soundtrack, if nothing else.
I love that Pearl Jam song. I love it. And when he says, "This horse tells me a lot about you," how true is that in life, you know, to have the problems of your horse magnified just through your personality. I see that can happen a lot, probably. So anyway, when does the movie come out? And that is actually the real Buck Brannaman, right? It's not like an actor portraying.
No, it's him. Nope, that's the real guy. It is buckthefilm.com, and on there you're going to see, taking a look here to see when it actually... it looks like it's starting to come out in May, and it's at different theaters across the country starting in different months. So you have to actually go to the website and check that out to see when it's going to be in a – hopefully it'll be in Phoenix. I didn't check that.
Check your local listings, people. Check your local listings.
That's right. Well, our first guest – maybe I didn't make this clear. Jamie was a little confused. But our first guest was the coachman – formerly head coachman to the Duke of Edinburgh, who is the husband of the Queen. And he worked at Windsor Castle in the Royal Mews, which is the place where the barn where they keep the horses, and actually was the coachman, actually did the driving, and I'm sure has driven the Queen around, and also, you know, helped take care of the horses and train the horses and all of that. So we wanted to have him on with the royal wedding that just happened last weekend. We thought, and you got to see all the carriages and all the horses and everything, we thought how cool would it be to get somebody on that really was involved with that. Not only that, he was around back when at the inception of combined driving. And, of course, I just had my first combined driving lesson here on my birthday a couple weeks ago. So we thought it would be really cool to have David Saunders on. David's also a driving champion and has been around the world driving in competition as well as teaching lessons and coaching and recreational driving. He's pretty much done it all, but we wanted to talk to him today because of the royal wedding here recently about his time at Windsor Castle. And I think we have David on here. Hi, David. How are you?
Fine, Glenn. How are you?
Good. We appreciate you coming on. I know you and I had talked when you were in Kentucky here last year, and I haven't had a chance to talk to you much since then. But, you've had a fascinating past, and we really want to talk to you. First of all, what is a muse? That confuses Americans when they say royal muse, M-E-W-S.
Yes, well, in London, there are quite a few muse. A muse was a place where falcons were kept. Because in the medieval times, the falcons and the horses were kept together, and people would hunt from horseback with falcons and birds of prey, raptors. And the sound that a raptor makes is a mew. So the stables where they were kept with the horses was called the mews.
Oh, I would have never guessed that in 1,000 years. That's cool. So how did you end up getting a job and working at Windsor Castle? How did you end up in the Royal Mews?
Well, that's an interesting story. I was kind of working as a blacksmith farrier. I was shoeing horses for a living, and I'd recently got married, and I thought, you know, I really ought to get a proper job. And there's a weekly magazine called The Horse and Hound, which is like a weekly magazine in England.
Yeah.
And in the situations vacant, there was just a box number, and it said Windsor area groom required with driving horses. And I'd worked with driving horses quite a lot, so I applied for the job and thought nothing more of it. About 3 evenings later, the phone rang, and I picked up the phone, and, yes, hello. And they said, "Is that David Saunders?" And I said, "Yes." "Is that David Edward Saunders?" I said, "Yes." And the man at the other end said, "This is Major Phelps. I'm the superintendent at the Royal Mews, Buckingham Palace." And I said, "Yeah, I bet you are," and put the phone down. Well, I kind of figured, you know, why would Buckingham Palace be calling me, you know, in the middle of the night? Well, in the middle of the night, 8 o'clock at night. Anyway, the phone rang again 2 minutes later. He said, "Don't put the phone down. You applied for this job." And I said, "Yes, I did." And he said, "Well, it's a job. His Royal Highness Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, the Queen's husband, had just started competing, driving. And they were looking for a third groom at Windsor Castle. And I lived in the area. So I said, well, yeah, that might suit me." So I was taking on as a junior liveried servant. I mean, you can't get much lower than that, but I was the lowest man for the job.
How many years were you there?
20 years.
Oh, my gosh. So, boy, the stories. Tell us what that was like. I mean, first of all, how many horses do they have there? Obviously quite a lot, judging by the wedding we saw last week.
Well, the Mews itself is based in London, and there are probably 30 to 40 horses kept there. They're kind of transitory because when I was working for Prince Philip, we had the horses at Windsor Castle because it was easier for him to drive there. Obviously, there's nowhere to drive in central London, but at Windsor, he can drive in Windsor Great Park. So we kept six of the horses that were used for ceremonial occasions at Windsor Castle for him to compete with. And if you ever looked at the entry form, it was always Her Majesty the Queen's team driven by His Royal Highness Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh. So she kind of lent them to him to drive, to compete with.
Well, okay, so now you worked your way up through the ranks. Is that what happened?
Oh, yes. We call it in England dead men's shoes. You have to wait for someone to die before you can move up the ladder. And I was lucky because there was quite a few old men there at the time, and they kind of pegged out one at a time and all was fired, and I moved up the ladder. But I was also lucky. I'm being a bit flippant there, but I was also lucky because the sport was, in them days, very new. We were competing with normal leather harness with no reinforcement in it. Carriages were made of wood, and the sport had just started. And so
you were really using now. What years was this? Just to give us an idea.
This was 73, 74 when we started, and as I say, we would use antique carriages with antique harness to drive across country. And if you've done any combined driving, which I gather you have, and you've seen it,
yeah.
I mean, carriages would fall apart, harness would fall apart. If you finished the marathon, generally you were the winner.
It used to be that way in regular eventing, too, back
yes,
in the day.
Well, it's like everything develops, but I was really fortunate because Prince Philip at the time was the president of the FEI, the International Federation Equestrian Federation, I beg your pardon, and he's a great innovator, and, you know, where I am at the moment is in Belgium, the world harness maker, Van der Wiel Harness, really developed the harness for competition, reinforced it with nylon, but kept leather and used stainless steel and designed quick release methods so that if the horses were in trouble, you could get them out. And so Prince Philip bought some harness from him, and we developed a carriage, you know, with bumper bars on the side, a low center of gravity, an independently sprung pole, disc brakes, all that sort of stuff. So I was really very fortunate that Prince Philip had the time and the inclination to develop the sport into what it is today, basically.
How much was the Queen, and how much is the Queen still, or at that time, was she involved with the horses and actually would visit them and be actively involved?
Well, it's funny you should ask that. The more I look back at it, it was a very magical time for me because the Crown Equerry at the time was Sir John Miller, who had we'd recently retired some of the carriage horses. Let me backtrack there. Most of the carriage horses were gifts to the Queen. And we'd retired three or four mares, Oldenburg mares, that had been given to them by the communists then, you know, because Oldenburg was then part of communist Germany. And they'd been retired, but the Queen owned a stallion called Margrave Supreme, which was a Cleveland Bay, which was a traditional English coaching horse. And Sir John came up with this idea to breed some carriage horses. And the Queen, who is a great breeder, as you know, she breeds racehorses and horses like that. So she started this program of breeding carriage horses. Well, by the mid-80s, we were competing with homebred, mostly mares, funnily enough, that the Queen had bred for her husband to drive. So she was absolutely fascinated. I mean, we would go to Sandringham. Generally, I would take remounts or horses that needed retraining. They'd go to the mews to learn their ceremonial work first, obviously, because that's what the taxpayer was paying for, was these horses to be trained for driving through the streets of London and pulling ceremonial carriages. But then they'd come to me, and around Christmas time we'd go to the Queen's estate at Sandringham, and I would get them used to the big wide world. Obviously, driving through the streets of London might be scary, but if that's all you've seen, it can be quite nice for them, quite comforting. But then they go to Windsor or to Sandringham, and suddenly there's big open fields and pheasants coming out the bushes and all that sort of stuff. So the Queen would be there as well for 6 weeks Christmas holidays, and she would always come to the barn or see me out driving and come ride over to me and say, oh, which horses are they? Oh, I remember when that one was born. I remember when this one was bred. And how's this one doing? How's that one doing? So as I look back on it now, it was really a very, very special time. And I'm going to Windsor, actually. I'm leaving tomorrow to go to Royal Windsor Horse Show. And the Queen, Prince Philip, Prince Edward, the Queen's younger son, will always come and say hello to me and how are you and how you do it. The Queen always, it's quite amusing, she always says, and how's life, Saunders, in the United States of America? And I said, it's wonderful, ma'am.
Oh, they must miss you. I was going to ask you, you spent so much time with the royal family. And I'm not sure of the separation of employee to the royal family, but do you think that you and the prince became friends?
Well, you never become friends with members of the royal family. Get that straight. But when you go to world championships, Prince Philip won a gold medal and two bronze medals at world championships, and he was individually six at one world championships. And being with him for 20 years and sharing that delight, winning a gold medal, it does give you a special relationship. So friends is not the right word. I think His Royal Highness respects, hopefully he does, respects me. And I kind of gave him a window where we both did our best. And as you know, with combined driving, it's very much a team effort. It's not just the driver, it's the horses, it's the gator on the back, the navigator, the timekeeper, it's the pit crew. It's very much a gregarious sport. So friends is not the right term, but I felt I was as close as any servant could be.
I'll tell you what, you know, we had a... You know, this is minor on the scale, but you talk about magical. One of the things that we used to love to do when we had our first farm and we had my driving ponies and stuff is on Christmas Day, whether it was snowing or not snowing or whatever, we used to go for a carriage ride. And talk about magical. I imagine that you got to do that. You said you were out at one of the estates on at Christmas time. How beautiful would that be, taking the fancy carriage out on Christmas Day, taking the royals for a ride? It gives me goosebumps.
Well, actually, if I could put a shameless plug in my website, www.davidesaunders.com, there are some pictures there of me driving a pair of horses in a sleigh in the snow at Sandringham. And, of course, you know, Prince Philip would drive probably 3-4 days a week. The Queen would ride 3-4 days a week. Mostly it was a hunting estate. It was a shooting estate for the pheasants. So it was a bird hunting estate primarily. But, of course, the horses added a whole new slant to the whole thing. So around Christmas, you know, there'd always be a Christmas Day gathering of the royal family. Remember, in them days, not many of them were married. Princess Anne was married, I think. But the rest of the family would all ride horses, and Prince Philip would drive the carriage, and we'd go somewhere to some sort of lunch somewhere or other. So it really was a very special time.
Wow.
Yeah, but it was still work for you, though. It might have been special for their family, but you were still working. But I find it interesting to say that you couldn't be friends with a royal. Just, you know, it's just not a world that those of us in America even begin to understand is how the royal family is. But, you know, I think I got a pretty good picture of it watching the wedding. Now, did you watch the wedding? Did you go to the wedding? What was your capacity through that?
Well, I watched it on television. Originally, I was going to, they asked me, I did have a phone call asking me if I was available, because I think in the beginning they envisaged a big wedding. The big one I was on was the Prince and Princess of Wales, and there was four processions going to the church. I mean, there was the bride, the bride's grooms, the bridesmaids, and the Queen's procession, and there was something like 12, 13 carriages. This one, as you noticed, there was five carriages on. And they didn't go to the church, and the church was half the distance away. So in the end, I guess for one reason or another, they decided to make it a less prestigious occasion, which I think is a shame, really, because let's face it, the army are all there being paid, the policemen are all there being paid, all the people in the mews, the horses are there. So I was kind of disappointed they didn't make much more of an effort with the carriages.
You know, it was interesting. I think one of the explanations for that was that they said that when Diana got married there, when Charles and Diana got married, it was actually an official royal state wedding, and this was not. This was a private wedding. It was much less pomp and circumstance.
Well, that's a little bit of BS, I think, because
okay.
if the Queen's there, it's a state occasion. If the Queen's there and the carriages are state carriages, and the people that are driving the carriages or riding the horses postillion are in state livery, and the household cavalry are there in their full regalia, it is a formal state occasion.
Wow,
okay.
Barack Obama's going to be mad. He didn't get the invite then.
David, tell us what you're up to now. What are you doing now?
Well, I've been in Europe since the beginning of April, because I live in Florida, and of course it gets a bit warm there too much with. I went to Australia for 10 days and did some clinics in Australia, and I'm going to Royal Windsor tomorrow for a week. I'll be coming back to the States. I have a client up in Chicago I'm going to work with, and then I'll be going to Prince Philip's 90th birthday party in June. I've been invited
wow.
to that, so I'll be going to that. And there's a lot more driving going on here in Europe, so I'll kind of be here for most of the summer.
Well, David, I got the opportunity, thanks to my lovely wife on my birthday, to actually drive my first four-in-hand with Sterling there. And
oh, yeah,
we drove at Hackney's, and what a thrill that is. It's scary as hell, but it's a thrill. I was just going to say, I think I was going to say what you're going to say. Go ahead.
Well, the real horsepower, i.e. having a horse or four horses or six horses or two horses in front of you, the feeling of power is kind of overwhelming. It's difficult to explain. It's something that everyone should try. And I think with carriage driving, you know, a lot of people, for one reason or another, age or some sort of disability, can't throw their leg over a horse any longer. But, you know, carriage driving, you can still get that same feeling of the horse and being one with the horse and being able to go everywhere with the horse, because we do with carriage driving, as you know, we compete and drive everywhere.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And
go ahead, Jamie.
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, this is going to be embarrassing to somebody of your stature, but the only thing I've ever driven was a Mini, and I thought that was the coolest thing ever, was just being pulled around by a miniature horse. I can't even imagine how busy you are when you're driving those big teams. And, you know, Mr. Saunders, it seems like you are just absolutely the busiest man on the planet, traveling around like you do, competing like you do. I definitely want to give another big plug for your website. It's DavidEsaunders.com. And do you have any books or publications that people can find you and read about your opinions and stuff and your training?
Well, in this technological age, go to Facebook. I'm on Facebook. And actually, if you go on Facebook and go through my pictures, you'll see me. I put together this spring a team of Minis, four Minis together we put together. And while I was in Australia, we drove Shetlands. I drove two Clydesdales, I think. So any equine, really, or mule or donkey, actually, can be driven. Basically a pair of Shetlands that really you can't do much with, but you know, two adults can drive them. So I think there's a great opportunity in the equestrian world for growth if we can get more people into driving carriages and enjoying themselves.
David, what do I search for on Facebook? Just David E. Saunders?
David E. Saunders, yeah. I'll become a friend on. I can do it now while I'm talking to you.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure we could find you. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you being on with us. This has been so much fun. And, you know, how cool is it? I hope we get to meet up sometime when you're here in Lexington. Let me know if you're heading out to Gala Driving Center or something, and we can meet up.
All right, then. It was nice talking to you.
Thank you, David.
Oh,
appreciate
fantastic.
It. And enjoy the party coming up.
Yeah, will do. Yeah. Cheerio.
All right, bye-bye.
Cheerio. He said cheerio. Cheerio. I love him. Oh, my gosh. Could you not listen to him talk for, like, hours?
I know. I could have. And, of course, you know, how many times do we get to talk to somebody who is that close to the royal family?
I know. That's amazing. What an amazingly cool guy, too. Just to have such a good sense of humor about the whole thing. I mean, he worked in the royal stables as a servant for over 20 years, and here he is, like, gallivanting around the world now, you know, putting on clinics and competing and driving. And, I mean, you know, it's an ageless sport, I always say, about horses. You know, you can do horses, you know, forever. I mean, look at Bruce Davidson competing at 65. You know, it's just amazing. What a cool guy, and I love listening to him. Good find, people. Good find, Jennifer.
Yeah, that was a good find, Jennifer. That was a good one. You know, and of course, I love talking about driving, but one of the things that you found in common, and this is true for almost anybody we have on, but we've had some drivers on here recently, and they are so passionate about what they do, and they really want more people to be doing it. And I think part of the problem with driving is that it's so expensive. You know, not only do you need the horse, yeah, you need a saddle and everything when you ride a horse, but you need the carriage, you need the harness. It's just, you need something then to haul a carriage. That was the one problem we had. We had a Meadowbrook carriage, which is two-wheeled wooden carriage, because we could put it in the pickup truck and still haul the trailer. Otherwise, you need a separate vehicle just to haul the carriage. So it's just a more complicated thing when you're dealing with driving. And it's more expensive, and I think that's one of the limitations that carriage driving has.
Yeah.
Well, you know, something cool happened 2 days ago at the barn where we keep our horse at Darcy's place. A stray cat showed up last weekend. It was in the dumpster out there, and so Darcy caught the stray cat. Well, the stray cat was pregnant, and now the stray cat is a farm cat with many, many kitties. So we have a picture of the cat with the kittens from day one, like an hour old, that we're going to post on our Facebook page here shortly. It's kitten season, everybody. So we're going to post that. And, of course, that led me to our song of the day, Barn Cat by Marianne Kennedy.
I'm a barn cat. not an alley cat or a house cat. I don't sit in laps. I got a real job. I catch mice. It's a tough life.
Appropriate because Glenn and Jennifer's barn just adopted, well, inherited a pregnant cat that just had kittens. Oh my God, there's nothing cuter than little kitties. And I wonder how many you guys are going to take home.
Well, we thought about that, but then we have the Beast already that lives here at the house, who is a cat, and we call him the Beast for a reason. And we figured the Beast would probably eat any cats we brought home. So I think if anything came home that would be safe here, it would have to be a dog. The Beast loves picking on dogs and beating them up and stuff. So we figure that probably something a little bigger would be better to have around the Beast than a kitten.
Good idea. Well,
yeah.
You guys are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. I'm Jamie Jennings with Glenn the Geek, and today's show is brought to you by Pfizer Animal Health. And just real quick, I wanted to give you guys an update on Arch, who ran in the Kentucky Derby and had a minor condylar fracture on his front left leg. They did say that he had some pins inserted in the leg to repair the fracture. He stumbled coming out of the gate, and the owner is sure that that is when it happened. And he is pretty much done from racing, is what they say, but he's going to be fine. They didn't have to put him down or anything like that. They fixed him up. He's going to be fine, just not going to race anymore. And then Uncle Mo, you guys, is going to be in Lexington for a while.
Oh,
you
really?
Know about that?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know about
that. Uncle Mo was shipped to Windstar Farm, which is near Versailles, Kentucky, which is kind of between Lexington and Versailles. And they apparently have fantastic veterinary facilities. Todd Pletcher says they're leaving them there because they have the hyperbaric chamber. They have a first-class staff. And their focus right now is to figure out what's going on internally with him and get him back to 100%. The Micropoli, his owner, said the number one goal is to get Uncle Mo healthy, and I feel very confident with the Windstar team. And he said that Todd trains many of Windstar horses, and he and Elliot speak on a regular basis, but their second minorly distant goal is for him to win Horse of the Year again this year. So they want to get this thing fixed up, get it done. He had, of course, a scratch from the Derby because of a gastrointestinal infection. But they want to get him fixed up, and they want to get him back to the races. So we will see more Uncle Mo, I believe.
But not at? We won't see him at the next big race?
I don't think he's going to be ready by the Preakness, but maybe the
Jack Assist.
Oh, Lord. I walked right into that one. I threw you a softball, and you hit a home run with it. I'm trying to be a journalist here, Glenn. I'm being a serious journalist, delivering the news, and what do? You go and play this song. I'm done with you. I'm on vacation.
You want to introduce our next guest?
And she didn't hang up yet. Good Lord. Just walked right into that one. Just walked right in.
And I didn't even say it. Because I thought if I set myself up to say it, then it's not right. That's just weird. So I thought I have to get you to say it, and you just fell right into it. It was so cool.
I'm in journalistic mode, Glenn. I'm here to provide information to the people. Okay. Let's get our next guest on right now. That was a good one, by the way. Nice job. Katie Gilmore from horseandcountry.tv. It's Horse and Country TV European Report. Good morning, Katie. I'm sorry you had to be a part of that and hear that.
That's quite all right. It was a bit of an assault on my ears, but I'm still here. It's fine.
Mine too. So what do you have? What's going on across the pond? I've been a little bit addicted to your website, Horse and Country TV. I did watch the series on photographing your horse. Your horse is gorgeous, by the way, because I know he was
Thank
the one
you
being
very
photographed.
Much.
Oh, it's fantastic. I loved the setup. I loved learning about that because I'm a new photographer. I just got a camera, so learning all the different ways to set it up. I took notes. It's just a very informative website, and I'm excited to watch more of the series. But what is new from Horse and Country TV?
Well, news-wise, we've had a busy week, as always, especially at this time of year, but some very happy news to start us off with, which is Ellen Whittaker, who's one of the younger Whittaker family riders, has become engaged to her actor boyfriend, Henry Cavill. So it looks like she's going to be marrying Superman, as he was cast as Superman in the 2012 film that's due to come. Very romantic. Apparently, he surprised her in a Hollywood hotel, having phoned her father earlier that evening to ask for permission. So we've been speculating about what the wedding might consist of, and are kind of wondering whether there's going to be a grid of fences down the aisle that she's going to jump on the way down, or whether it'll be a bit more traditional than that.
Well, you know what, too? It's cool to be married to Superman. You never have to worry about falling off again. You'll just swoop
exactly.
in and get you as your... Yeah.
Exactly. I can just see
you
it.
You need a Superman.
Yeah, I
certainly do. But, yeah, it's only exciting. You can sort of imagine her in the next Grand Prix show jumping, and if she goes to take a tumble, he'll come sweeping in with his cape and scoop her up before she hits the floor.
That'd be great.
I love it.
Wouldn't it? So that was really happy news and always nice to see. Certainly the blogs in the UK have been going a bit crazy about how lucky she is, because Henry Cavill is absolutely gorgeous.
I need to find a picture of him.
Yeah,
what's his last name?
He's someone that we're familiar with.
He's a British actor. He's been in quite a few things over here. There's a long-running series called The Tudors that he starred in. And as I say, he's been cast as the new Superman in the 2012 film Superman Man of Steel.
What's his last name?
Cavill, which is C-A-V-I-L-L.
We're all looking it up right now.
Yeah. He's a...
Oh, yeah,
Ellen's
he's not
done
bad.
Well. But yeah.
Oh, my God.
Young man.
Gorgeous. Okay, now I understand why this is awesome news. He is... I recognize him. Yeah, absolutely. Henry Cavill. Yeah. Oh, my God. Lucky girl.
Lucky girl, indeed. And actually, they met at a horse event. They met at the London International Horse Show at Olympia in 2009. So whether it was how she looked in her white jodhpurs and red jacket or in her jeans after she'd ridden, who knows? But clearly he has a thing for horse riders. Always good to know.
Oh, yeah.
Good for him.
There's hope. There's hope.
Exactly. There's also more good news this week. The RSPCA, which is the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, released their annual welfare statistics, which is great news. They investigated 160,000 complaints of cruelty in the UK, which is 10% more than last year, which is pretty high. But they managed to decrease the number of animals that they have to seize, which means that they are able to work with owners to improve the standard of care that they're offering for animals, which is really, really good news. It's good news to see that policy is working rather than having to constantly seize and rehome animals. So quite a good news week for us.
Absolutely. We're ready for some good news. If you just turn on the TV, it's all bad. You bring the good news. I like it.
Yeah, we like the good news.
So
I'm
what
just
else
looking
is
at
going
your
on?
Article here, actually. I'm looking at your article here, actually, on horseandcountry.tv. And what's really cool is they rehomed 64,000 animals last year.
They did,
yeah.
I don't know if news would have reached you over there, but last year there was a massive welfare case, it might have been the year before, concerning Spindles Farm, a particular farm in Amersham, in just outside of London. And there were a huge amount of neglected horses. I mean, something that has never been seen on that scale in the UK. And we're gradually now getting reports of the horses' progress. And the RSPCA were instrumental in helping these horses. And we're starting to see the horses now being rehomed into private homes as ridden horses and as companions. So, again, it's a really good story that illustrates the amazing work these guys do.
Cool. What else is up?
Yeah.
Well, my blog of the week this week, I like to introduce you to a new blogger each week on horseandcountry.tv, is Charlie Unwin. Now, he is an equestrian psychologist. Now, it sounds like he should be having horses on a couch talking about their mothers or something, but he's actually a sports psychologist focusing in equestrian sports. And he works with a few of our Olympic riders with how to improve their performance using the power of their brains and their minds. And Charlie has started to blog for horseandcountry.tv, which I'm delighted with, because this is really good free advice for people who want to improve the way they ride and the way they compete. And in his blog this week, he's talking specifically about engaging the right-hand side of your brain. And I remember I was reading it as he sent it to me to publish, and my head in its horse term immediately read it as engage the right hand hind, and it was like, oh, okay, that's weird. But he was talking about the brain, and he's giving instructions on how you use imagery to improve your riding. And in particular, he focuses on Laura Collett, who was the very young rider at Badminton who did incredibly well at her first Badminton. And talks about the imagery techniques that she used to improve her dressage and that allowed her to stay relaxed and in control. So I really recommend to anyone who wants to improve their marks or is a little bit of a nervous rider to click on to horseandcountry.tv and to have a look at that, because it's really interesting and there's a lot you can do just using your mind. Doesn't cost you anything. Free training, effectively, just for your brain.
Wow. If you can figure out a way to engage the right hind in my brain, I that's definitely worth watching. I'm sure there's plenty of places that aren't utilized.
Exactly. It was just the way I read it was kind of strange, but I guess that's the horsewoman in me. Rather than thinking about my own brain, I start thinking about my horse.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you guys are also very close to Team Fredericks, which is Clayton and Lucinda Fredericks. And I got to tell you, when we met them, when Clayton came over to be on our show in Rolex, we talked a little bit about his series that he's doing with you guys. And then he told us all about the saddle company that he has, Southern Star Saddlery, which I then went over, tried one out, and ended up after the weekend buying one of Clayton's saddles. I'm very excited about it, and I love looking at the videos and the pictures because that's what Clayton and Lucinda use, is that saddle. So it's kind of cool. So what are they doing for you guys on Horse and Country TV?
We are currently showing on Sky 280 in the UK the new series of Team Fredericks In Control, as they've named it. It started last week and continues this week, and it's great. Lucinda and Clayton, as you'll know, if you've met them, they are really lovely people, very friendly and a lot of fun. We also went down and did a couple of exclusive interviews with them just for our website. And the one that's currently online, again at horseandcountry.tv, is how they met, how they fell in love, and how their relationship developed. And I'm going to say no more about that story. You need to go and watch the video because it's a very sweet story.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's the stuff that girls want that we never get when it comes to professional riders. Like, I couldn't tell you how David and Karen O'Connor met, and yet I've been following the two of them for years. So this is definitely the kind of stories that women love, this squishy stuff, you know. Oh, my God, how did he propose? How did you guys meet? What was your wedding
like? I had our presenter, Jenny Rudel, with me when I went down to film it. And if ever there's a girl that's not scared of asking a question, it's Jenny. So she was straight in there asking how they met. Did Lucinda fancy him when she first met him? And so on and so forth. And it's a really sweet story. So do go on and watch the video.
I'm assuming that the answer to did she fancy him when she first met him was yes, because Clayton Fredericks is a cutie. Oh, my gosh.
Well, you'd think, but that's actually not what she thought when she first met him.
Really?
But I'm not going to tell you what she did think. You'll have to go and watch
she
the video.
Out.
But that's actually not what she thought when she first met him.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's definitely, I got to watch this. I got to know. That's a good tease. Good tease in radio. Well, we are getting close to the end of our segment here, but tell us, what else you wanted to talk about, and we can go find it and where we can find it.
Just really quickly to mention Horse and Country TV on HRTV, now that you can watch some of our programs in the U.S. This week we're going to be continuing to show At Home with Carl Hester, which is a series about dressage rider Carl Hester and his yard. And also episodes from Show Jumping Ireland. So if you log on to the HRTV website and have a look at the schedule, that will tell you what times those shows are on. And then also our video of the week from our website. As I said before, we've got 350 hours of free-to-watch on-demand videos. And we are just starting to calm down after the Royal Wedding, which was a fantastic event over here. So my pick this week is focusing on another royal bride-to-be, which is Zara Phillips. As you know, she's marrying a rugby player this summer. And we have a documentary called Zara, Natural Born Winner, online for you to watch on demand, so you can find out all about Zara's career and a little bit more about her.
Is that wedding going to be a little smaller?
You'd hope, wouldn't you? I don't know how that poor girl must have felt walking down that aisle. I mean, as if your wedding day isn't a little bit nerve-wracking enough, but to have billions of people from all over the world tuning in to watch you do it. Pretty scary.
I noticed on the way back out of the church when William and Kate were walking back out of the church, William could not have thought about each step he made any harder. You could see him concentrating not to step on her dress and not to trip and fall down the steps. He was concentrating
hard. I'm surprised he managed to not fall
over that dress. I know. And how can the people in the United States or other countries outside of Great Britain actually watch your content?
Well, in the US, we broadcast on HRTV, and there's a couple of deals in other countries around the world. We are available in Malta and in New Zealand as well on existing channels. But
okay.
The best thing to do is just keep an eye on our website. We put as many programs as we can online at horseandcountry.tv. Where we're allowed to, we'll put the programs online so you can tune in and watch wherever you are.
All right, very good. Well, thank you so much again, Katie, for joining us this week. We'll look forward to chatting with you again next week about what's going on over the ocean.
Brilliant.
Thank you, Katie.
Brilliant. Thank you
Take
so
care.
Much.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, so far, first of all, Horse and Country TV is awesome. These segments are great, and they're not super long, you know, so you don't have to sit in front of your computer.
And they're actually interesting and not boring.
Yeah, they're really, really good. I am like an addict to this, and I know that Jennifer is too. But I just want to say that we've had two people with English accents, and one said cheerio, and one said brilliant. That makes me happy. That makes me very happy.
And I want to give a shout out to our listener. I know we know of one in Malta because she mentioned Malta. And
Woo-woo!
Who knew? Yeah, but, you know, I hope our listener in Malta is still listening after all this time. And, yeah, I have to
Malta,
just want one thing here, Jamie, that you don't see is what happens on Twitter when we put a call out for things. So there is a Twitter comment about falling off, and this is from Adam's Turf, who says, I didn't fall off, but almost ran a 4-star eventer out of her training track and knocked her off. I'd like to know who that 4-star eventer was that this person ran over. That would be interesting to find out.
Yeah. But I love that these Facebook posts are great. I'm so excited that other people love to share that they're – I'm not the only one who comes on the radio and starts talking about their crashes and everything like that. Everybody on their posting is fantastic. There's some great great stories, and I'm amazed at how many people have fallen off recently that haven't fallen off in a very long time. So there must be something going around. So if you have not fallen off in a very, very, very long time, you're due. It's coming.
Jennifer, start wearing your vest, please. Thank you very much.
For a long time,
well, Jamie,
I had a pretty regular schedule of every 2 years for quite some time. Mm-hmm.
Jamie, you got to go. You got a plane to catch. You got a beach to attend to. You got a vacation to do, girl. How cool is that?
Yes.
I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss talking to you every day. But I wanted to tell everybody that we have some fantastic co-hosts lined up. We have Jackie Baker of Regarding Horses is going to be on tomorrow. Lisa Wysocki is going to join us on Thursday. And then, you know, I got to thinking, it's Freestyle Friday. Freestyle Friday is kind of wild. Who do you get for Freestyle Friday? So I got the ultimate. Frankie Lovato is going to join us on Freestyle Friday. He's going to help me read the really bad ads. And keep sending those in. We've gotten some. And remember, you're going to win a pair of Carrot's Bootcut Breeches if we pick your ad for Freestyle Friday. So send them to Jennifer@HorseRadioNetwork.com. Well, that's about it, everybody. Jamie, we're going to talk to you next week. You'll be back, what, Tuesday on the air? Providing
we'll
you come
see.
Back?
We'll see. No, you know, you can't be away from the horses too long. You start to get a little bit nervous, you know, like, I want to see my horses. So I will be back Monday morning. We're taking the red eye Sunday night, so that's why I won't make it for the show, considering we do it at 7 a.m. here, 6 a.m. here. So I will not be there Monday, but I'll be there Tuesday. I would like to say that I would listen to your shows, but that's like 3 a.m. Hawaii time, and I'll be just passing out by then.
Well, you have to do this, though. You have to promise you're gonna text me a picture of you somewhere in Hawaii so that we can post it on Facebook.
Oh, without a doubt. I will totally take care of that.
All right.
So I appreciate it. Goodbye, everybody. Woo-hoo, I'm on vacation. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, Jamie. And, you know, just because I know
you're... Pegasus. Man with fear in hand, he's